For your journey in life, you need direction from the master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi Adams.
Second Kings chapter 4 verse 25. Hallelujah. The Lord has instructed us to take particular things this month. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. I'm seeing some of you that were not around last week. Hallelujah. Welcome. I'm seeing Jennifer also. Welcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I say revolution today. Praise the Lord. Second Kings 4:25. Hallelujah. Our topic this morning, like I said last week, is what? What is our topic? What is our topic? Now, I said it's a month of knowledge and revelation. We looked at this, and I really want us to understand a lot of things. And I believe you'll be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, I want you to listen, please. Every heading of this sermon, I'm talking to the media department. Every heading, cut it in 10 minutes. Just let's have it on media as soon as possible. Praise the Lord. Now, we're looking at men of God. Now, why will you look at men of God on Sunday morning when you're supposed to be looking at God? Is that not true? Don't forget, every Sunday you have been coming to church is somebody that has been telling you about God. They need to know about that person. Is that not true? If you go to the hospital, let's read first of all. So she went and came unto the man of what? Unto what? The man of God to Mount Carmel. The first time I saw man of God in the Bible, I said, all this emoji is also in the Bible. That's true. So when I came to who? The man of God. And then you see that also in Ezra chapter 3 verse 2. And then other texts where the Bible particularly calls servants of God, men of God. Hallelujah. Now when you go to the hospital, it is good you know the person treating you. Now, we have a lot to cover. If you write, we'll not be fast. Thank God we looked at soaking as messages last week. So let's close our jotters. Praise the Lord. So that will be fast. How many of you listened to messages last week? Re-listening. Were you blessed at all?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, it's important you know the person that you are relating with at a particular time. Let's say you enter a car and then they just told you that the person sitting next to you is the DBA in charge of Lokoja, and you are traveling from here to Okene, and they told you the person sitting next to you is the DBA in charge of Lokoja. How will you behave in the car? How will you behave? All throughout the car, your attitude will be different. True. If you never knew, you may even shift now. Shift. No matter how you sit down in that car, you will not complain. Is that true? Well, because of the knowledge of who that person is. If you go to the hospital and then you just see somebody walking up and down, up and down, up and down. They say, now, this is the doctor. This is the doctor. The person may be wearing t-shirt, walking up and down. You never respected him. But immediately they said, this is the doctor that will attend to you. Your attitude towards him will change. Because you know that this is the person that holds the key to my current condition. Is that true? Now, many people have been listening to people wearing tie and suit preaching every Sunday morning, but they don't really understand who they are. Understanding who somebody is and what he can do and what he cannot do will really affect a lot of things on the way you relate with him and the way you hear from him. If you are about to write an exam, let's say a professional exam, and they tell you this is the marking scheme and this is the person that set the exam, is giving you the marking scheme. So I'm here to give you exam tip. Do you understand? Nobody will sleep in that class. Is it true? Did you hear what I said? You are writing a final professional exam that costs you almost ₦1 million. And then I set the questions. Then, you know, before exam, somebody will come and say, read this area, read this area, read this area. Even if that class goes for 4 hours, nobody will sleep in that class. Is that true? Well, because you know this is the teacher and this is the... So, the reason why many people sleep in church because they don't really know who is standing before them. And what he stands to represent in their lives. And the reason why many people are criticizing, insulting, and persecuting men of God is because they don't know who they are. You know, yesterday I was just meditating, and the Lord told me, a lot of us may have done a lot of criticism, a lot of things, but this message will be your deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You must understand that men of God, first of all, are God's police force on earth. So like Buhari has force in Nigeria that enforces dealings. Is that true? Every citizen is, we are all equal. We are not really equal. So people that enforce the laws of God, the dictates of God upon the earth, are people that we refer to as men of God, and people that are spokesmen, people that speak for God. Hallelujah. Everybody can speak for God, but there are people that directly delegated. They say, this is ambassador of Nigeria to Turkey. That means anything he's saying, he's not saying his own words, he's saying what Nigeria will say. Do you understand that? Now, we may have a lot of Nigerians in Turkey. As far as they are concerned, they are on their own. They are these citizens of Nigeria, but we have a particular people. So all of us are Christians, brethren, brothers and sisters in the kingdom. But there are particular people that God has delegated. Are we together? To enforce and speak for him. If God wants to speak to local Jah as a city, he will not come and speak to everybody. He will send one person to speak for him. So hearing that person is the same as hearing the voice of God. Do you understand? Hearing that voice is the same as what? Hearing the voice of God. Everybody, we are called ambassadors in the kingdom, but there are ambassadors of ambassadors. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So I believe your heart will be open tonight and you'll be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when we say a man of God, will mean somebody called into the fivefold ministries. Now, we have two types of leaders in the kingdom. We have spiritual, we have two types of spiritual leaders. We have called leaders, and then we have what we call chosen leaders. Now, called leaders are those that are called particularly to the fivefold ministries. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11 to 13. Hallelujah. We have a lot of scriptures. So I will quote most of them. Praise the Lord. That's what I would like you to see. The Bible mentioned of five, and 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 28, I believe. The first one we have is there are apostles, prophets, what? Teachers, pastors, and what? Evangelists. Now, these are the fivefold ministry. These are what we call chosen leaders. They are chosen by call. You don't grow to become a prophet. You are not taught to become a prophet. You are not birthed to become a prophet. You are chosen by God. If you are not chosen, you don't have it. If you are not called to pastor, wear tie, wear suit, speak with English, Greek, Hebrew, and Greek, and speak Latin, you are not a pastor. Are we together? So like you can wear lab coat and wear stethoscope on your shirt and go to FMC and look for one of the consulting rooms and sit down. Once you are not certified with a medical certificate, you are not a doctor. The fact that you know where my liver is and my kidney is and you know where my lungs is, that doesn't make you a doctor. There has to be a way where you are satisfied that this is a doctor. Is it true? So men of God are called by God. It is God that called them. Nobody, the Bible says, nobody take this honor upon himself unto whom, unless who to whom it is given. I didn't choose to stand this Sunday morning to preach. I was called to do it. So everybody that calls himself a man of God in the fight for you must understand that he didn't want it. Many didn't want it actually. They were called and they accepted the call. Do you understand me now? No. Anytime you see somebody, I'm like, anytime you see somebody pass and say, this is Buhari's representative, you will treat him with an attitude. So anytime you see a no matter how he looks, know that God called him. Do you understand? Then we have another class of leaders, what we call choosing leaders. Now there are people that the fivefold have called through, no, they are called into ministry by the fivefold. Example in Acts chapter 6, when we have Stephen and the seven elders that were called to serve tables. You remember that scripture? Now, there are people that are called by the fivefold to assist. Primarily, they are called to assist the fivefold. You understand me now? Like we have music director. He may not be a direct pastor, an evangelist, but he is called to assist. So, we have chosen leaders. Just like the way Aaron was called in Exodus chapter 4, from verse 14 to 15. Aaron was called to assist who? Moses. Now, Moses was not...
Hallelujah. Are we good? So we have chosen leaders. Choosing to serve in the position of leadership. Hallelujah. So we have the first one I say, we have called into the fivefold and then choosing leaders. Now, how do you identify a true man of God? Are we together? How do you identify? The first way to identify a true man of God is you have to be a true Christian. Do you understand? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 26. 2 Corinthians 11 26. 2 Corinthians 11 26 and Galatians 2 verse 4. The first key. Because a lot of people, if you have been duped or deceived by a man of God, let me see your hands up. If you have ever been deceived into giving money or deceived into something terrible by a man of God, let me see your hands up, please. Only one person. Ah, it cannot be. Hallelujah. If you have ever been deceived, if your hands is down, you are lying. And you are lying before God, that makes your sin capital. So if you have ever been fooled by a man of God into doing something, let me see your hands up. Hallelujah. Only two people. The rest of you, God forgive you. Now, Paul was speaking about the Christians at this particular point. He said, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. These are people that were giving Paul trouble. Are we together? Are we together? Yes. Robbers, countrymen, hidden, they are unbelievers. Perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and then what? Perils among what? Did you see that? What? False brethren. Galatians chapter 2 verse 4. That means there are brethren in church that are false. That their Christianity is fake. Do you understand me now? Now the Bible says, and that because of what? False brethren. Unaware. That is why you can have somebody in the ushery stealing money, but he's wearing tie claiming he's a brother. But he's fake. Are we together? Now you can have an MD impregnating the choir sisters. Yes, he's also a brother, but he's in church, but he's fake. The first way to understand a fake man of God is you yourself. You have to be real. Many people that have been deceived, they are not true. Because if you are real, when you see a real person, you will know this person is my type. Is this true? And then if you are fake, you cannot even understand who is fake or real because you yourself, you are fake. So the first key to understand a true man of God is your Christianity has to be what? Authentic. Are we together? You have to be real. That is the first foundation. You have to make your Christianity real. Because you will never recognize a fake money if you have never held an original money. Do you understand? If you are a prayer person, when you meet a prayer person, you will know this person is a prayer person. True or false? True or false? When you are a worshipper, when you meet another worshipper, you know this person is a worshipper. True or false? So if your Christianity is fake, because don't forget the man of God is first a Christian before a man of God. Is that true? So when your Christianity is genuine, you are really sincere, you're really a worshipper, you really know God. That's the first key to understanding a fake man of God. But when you see somebody holding tie, wearing suit, you know that this person is original or fake. The second key to understanding a man of God is by what we call by their fruits. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 15 to 20. By their fruits. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 15 to 20. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, many prophets will rise in the last days. You will not be able to recognize a fake prophet. But the Bible says, beware of false prophets, which come to you what? They will always come to you in sheep clothing. Are we clear? Nowadays, DBS are no longer in shrines, are no longer in the village. They are now in Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja, wearing tie and suit. All together? Carrying Diggs Bible. You know Diggs Bible? Carrying Diggs Bible and on stage with light everywhere. They come to you. They will never come and wear DBS clothes, and wear cowries and wear mark. You will not come to them. So they always come in a way you can accept them. Are we together? So beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing. But inwardly they are what? Ravening wolves. Verse 16. Then the Bible says, you shall know them by what? Their fruit. Not by their title. Not by their cathedrals. Not by what they say, by their fruits. Are we together? In James chapter 3 verse 12, the Bible says, a salty water cannot bring a fresh water at the same time. So when you look at somebody's fruit, don't forget I say fruit. Because many people have the way of teaching correct, balanced homiletics. They can bring, their homiletics are balanced, very, very clear. Everything they preach on holiness. But then meet them after service. Meet them outside church. Meet and see what they are doing. What their fruits. You know that this person is not true. Are we together? So not only by what they say is everybody will say it. Don't forget the devil also caught scriptures in the Bible. Do you remember that? Do you remember? Bible says the angels, the devil also will come as an angel of light. So what's their fruit? That is the way you, when you relate with me after sermon, after Sunday, when we sit down to talk together, what are the things that I say? Why, how do I behave when a lady passes? How do I behave about money? What is my ideology about taking style or Oguda? What is my mind? How do I behave outside the microphone? How do you get that? That is the way you know them, by their fruits. By their fruit, because our dressing will not tell. Don't forget, real bad boys, real criminals. If you are good, you work in American movies. The real bad boys in the movies are always gentle. Is it true? Real criminals don't have tattoos on their body. People that have done real terrible crimes, they don't really have tattoos. They don't have muscles. When you see them, they look very, very gentle. When they say this is the person, you don't believe. The Bible says on the last day when they parade Lucifer before people, people will say, no, this is not the person. This cannot be the person. Is that what the Bible says? Come on, is that what the Bible says? Bible says, okay, I've not seen it in the Bible before. Is that? Bible says, when Lucifer comes, people will say, no, this is not the person. This cannot be the person. Because he will look so little before the people that he shook the whole world. So you know them by their fruit, because he's looking gentle. You don't judge them by that, hallelujah. Because the lady is carrying a good voice. Hey, how are you? What are you? No, that doesn't make that a wife material. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you know them by their fruit. Number three. Now I'm teaching you things that are of the circular. You know a man of God by the spirit that works with him. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says, don't believe every spirit. Judge every spirit. Beloved, believe not what? Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirit. In Acts chapter 16, from verse 16 to 18, a young girl was following Paul, and she was a sorcerer. How did you get that? And then she was following Apostle Paul and said, these are men of God that shows us the way of the kingdom. What she was saying was perfectly correct. How did you get that? How did you get that? What she was saying was what? Correct. But the spirit in her is a demonic spirit. So I can be preaching what I'm saying is correct, give an altar call, but the spirit doing that thing is a demonic spirit. Do you understand? So watch and monitor the spirit that works with people. And the way you can only know the spirit is by discernment. You cannot know a spirit just like that. You have to be very, very discerning. The Bible says, strong men belong to those who are of age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. So when somebody stands before you and is fake, you will know this person is fake. By the spirit, that's why I used to tell you every time about listening to secular songs. The lyrics is correct. When Jesus say yes, nobody can say no. You know that song? Beyonce and what's that other lady? Yeah, the lyrics are correct. But who is the person singing? What is the spirit that backs that person? How do you get that? There are many gospel songs by many artists. Sometimes, and I'm talking about names will be coming to my head. I will be controlling myself. Yeah. Many songs by many people singing about Jesus Christ and worship. But then you know that this person is a bad boy. There are many Nigerian artists that have sung one gospel song. Is that true? You know their names? Don't mention it. But you know what I'm talking about? What they said is true. We exalt God. Lord, we thank you for your blessings in my life. What they are saying is correct. But you know that this person is wrong. The spirit behind that person. So, you will not be deceived into following somebody, because let me tell you something. People are primarily spiritual. Are we together? Are we together? So the way to know a man of God is by discerning his spirit. And then number three is by their teachings and their doctrines. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 8, Apostle Paul was saying that when anybody come to you and teach you anything outside the Bible, never believe them. Are we together? Titus chapter 2 verse 1 and then 2 Timothy 4 verse 12 and then 3 verse 16. So you know somebody that is fake by their doctrines and by their teaching. Now many of the false doctrines we have nowadays are from the Bible. They can quote two or three scriptures. All together. Then somebody will come and tell you fornication is not bad and they will support it from the scriptures. Have you ever met people like that? Have you met people like that? Yes. They will give you Bible. Now, the fact that they quoted it from the Bible doesn't make it correct. Nowadays I've heard of people, somebody went to the shrine and there was Bible in the shrine. And the Bible, the lady doctor will say, me too, I'm a Christian, I believe in the Bible. I even carry the Bible and show him some things. And then give it and then do the main thing. That is to fool you. You want them by their teachings and by their doctrines. Anybody that says she'll marry can marry multiple wives. I saw one poster one time. Adultery is of the polygamy is biblical. If not, what will the other ladies do? You know, women are more than men, naturally. Is that correct? So the man of God said, God is saying man can marry two wives. If not, what would the remaining ladies be doing? Is that true? But will you believe that? And that person, that pastor has congregations. But you know, many people by their doctrines and by their teachings, that this person is false. Hallelujah. And then finally, is by your growth. When you grow yourself, you will know a fake person. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, and then James chapter 1 verse 16, when you grow, the more you grow, you will know that this person is false. The more your spirituality and your Christianity grows, after a while, you can easily know a fake pastor because you know you are mature beyond that level. So that you will not be easily tossed to and fro altogether. Because you saw that somebody prophesied and then he told you your address and your details. Doesn't make him a man of God altogether. International Junction here, young girl walking, like I've shared it before, walking, and then somebody came and met her and said, your name is Sister Angela. So this is your family. Yes, this is my story. And then the man began to walk. She ran after him. Please, lie at me. I'm telling you a true life story. So help me, please. You know, when you see somebody with that level of eye that can see your life, you need help. Is that not true? The man said, meet me at this particular place. So she came. This woman condition gave her some drinks to drink. After that, he said, now go and look for your boyfriend and sleep with him in the next 3 hours. If not, you'll run mad. Yeah, I'm telling you a true love story, no movie. If not, you'll run mad. She said, I cannot go. He's a Christian. He will never do it. Okay, if you not go, you'll run mad. Can I help you? She said yes, and he slept with her there. That was when our problem started. And what, I'm telling you, from here to that place, you let us something else. Isn't that true? Yes. Tell me a true life story. There are many things like that because the lady has refused to grow. Because if she has grown in her spirituality, once she hears some things, you will know that this is false. Imagine I come to you and say, God says, sell everything you have and give me the money. Sell everything, including everything. Sell everything. Divorce your wife and come and serve God. Have you had people that have divorced their wife to come and serve God in church? You have not heard it before? Yes. Because the person refused to grow. So the pastor can tell him, like I told you, that a man of God in TV, everywhere, a pregnant woman, his leg was on her head. You know the man that used to carry it on TV? His head was on her neck and she was pregnant on the floor. And he was talking to the audience. I was saying, if their brain on their leg, they have refused to grow. So they deserve that kind of pastor. They deserve it. Because to carry the Bible and study, they will not study. But anytime they see somebody, they can see. The man can see they are there. And then the man will prophesy their money out of their pocket. Many people have quit their job, done terrible things because the man of God said. Because they have refused to grow. That's why I say many people have been deceived by men of God. They deserve it. Because you have the Bible with you. You have it. Everybody, free of charge, go to the general market. Everybody sells the Bible, even unbelievers in their shops. You will never study. When I give you simple instruction, prayer and meditation, you will never do it. But when I come, the Lord said to me, I need you to wake up by 12 midnight. I need to be naked. By 12 midnight, and call me. Yes. From this place, my left, less than 5 minutes, a young girl was deceived, but until the church is not here, far from here. The man said, if he sleep with her, husband will come. Slept with her and abandoned her. She was crying. Now think about that. Who is wrong? You say, you will now say, people have voted their innocence. No! Innocence is not an excuse for stupidity. If you kill somebody innocently, will you go to jail? No, will you go to jail? So innocent, you have the Bible. How can the man of God say, I'm telling you, from here is less than 5 minutes. Slept with her. Because your husband will come. You have many stories, you think they are not true. They are practically true. Many people don't tell you their stories. So the way to know a fake man of God is by you yourself growing. Many people will refuse to grow. They will never fast. When you say fast, they will never fast. When you study the Bible, they will never study. Worship, they will never worship. Do anything, come to service in 31 days in a month. They are in church only 4 times. Every Sunday, 4 Sundays in the month, 2 of us. And on Sundays, only 2 or 3 hours Sunday service. Now, how can you survive in a world like this with that kind of Christianity? The Bible will never be open in that month. There is no way you are competent for the demons we have. Because the native doctors are wise men. They are smart. Are we together? So the way to know a man of God is by you yourself. Grow. Let your spirit be able to be. You know, when you see a fake thing, when you pass magnets around metals and stones, it will only attract a metal. Two of us. You will know a true man of God. So by once you walk into the place, you know God is here or not. You will not be deceived by the light, by the music, by everything. Once you step in there, you know God is in this place or not. God is, you don't walk away in peace. How did you get that? A crusade was happening around in this Kafas Hall here, years ago. The name of the man is from Lagos. There is fire in his name. I don't want to mention the family. There is fire. When I went there, I knew God was not there. I'm telling you. But the place was jack-packed everywhere. So I said, let me cook. I'll go now. Let me go. So when I sat down there, the ushers were wearing transparent white tight trousers. Now, as a man of God, you cannot survive immorality with those kind of ladies. You can't. Those were his ushers. First of all, I said, oh, where are they? So I was just there. I was just interested. The man came over and carried, he didn't come with the Bible to the stage. He said, me, I don't talk more, I act more. See, I don't need to preach the word of God. I just do it. I'll move into the miracles. I say, we are here today. And people are shouting, hey. That is advanced foolishness, mumulity. Everybody, Bible said, the Bible came, Jesus the healer. Bible said they came to him to hear the word and be what? Healed. See, I don't need to preach the word of God. I am into action. People were shouting. And everybody there was a Christian. And in that, it was a Sunday evening. That means in the morning they went to church. And the pastor was preaching. They were not excited. They wanted miracles. I said, I'm here today. So I sat down. I balanced my chair. Hallelujah. But I knew. Then he said that basically, Idahusa is his spiritual father. He is less than 35. This is when basically Idahusa died. I was like, hey. And then Bishop Kere, they were his spiritual father. And all of the people were shouting. I said, so do people know who's basically Idahusa at all? Do they know who's, even Bishop was a robot. I'm telling you. And the people were shouting, I said, Jesus Christ. He began to say, come on, if you have a, now I was seeing real stupidity in my eye. And all of them were Christians, they have been to church in the morning. And they are being fooled like that. The man said, now if you want to bring your house, bring your land, bring your car, I'm telling you. People were bringing land documents, bringing car. The same people that on Sunday morning persecuted 20 naira and drop an offering. So people like that deserve that kind of apostle. Yes. Because they have refused to grow. So there are people that will help them grow by force. May you never be like that. In the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you some facts about the ministry. Now, every man of God, you must know, first of all, is still a human being. He's called from human beings. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1, and then Acts chapter 6 from verse 30, and then Exodus chapter 18 from verse 14, but particularly verse 21. The Bible says, choose leaders among yourselves. I was a human being before I was called to ministry. All together. So the best of a man is a man. That means every man of God is not excused from mistakes. That is including the genuine men of God. All together. We are not excused from mistakes. Nobody is excused. We are still human beings. All together, they are called. No, we didn't learn from heaven. They didn't. That their devil didn't learn from heaven. And then they woke up one day in Oshun and they go, "Ah, who has your name? Enoch? Adejare? No, he was a human being. All together, now because there are real men of God that may deviate or that may make mistakes. All together, so they are still human beings. God has called them, trained them, and consecrated them for his use. But they are still human beings. Right, they say, men of God. Hallelujah. He's a man and then he's of God. Praise the Lord. So don't extrapolate and exaggerate our mistakes. When you see preachers, the sons of pastors, they suffer more. I was reading them to Josiah, and she asked her son, what was the most difficult thing he has ever had? He said that growing as a pastor's child, they call them PKs. Everybody expect them to be perfect. Is it true? Is anybody here the son of a pastor? Is it true? Everybody expect them to be perfect. As if there is a gene for your holiness in them. You don't expect that when the lady is passing now and I'm here and then I look at them all, opposed to you two. I have everybody. We are still human beings. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You must know that. I'm letting you understand some things. We are still human beings. We still need money. We still want money. We spend money. They shed and wear. They didn't give me free of charge. If I took bike, the Bible would say, okay, yeah, the preacher preaching this Sunday morning, enter my bike free of charge. That will happen. I paid. Is that true? So we are still human beings. So don't make us look as if there is the grace of God upon us. We get there, but we are still human beings. Know that. So treat us with carefulness. Treat preachers' kids with carefulness. Excuse them to watch cartoon. I was listening to EWG. The people came to church, not Noel Jones. And then the woman was saying, where are your children? Then the man said, they are where your children are. You ensure your children are at home. They are where your own children are. You expect them to be in every service and your children will never come. You expect them to behave in an ecstatic way. I think they should not be watching cartoon. You are watching cartoon. You are singing this song, but your children are singing it. Allow them the benefit of that to grow. All together. Give them time to grow and not cry for themselves. Nobody was born injected with holiness. And they are still human beings. Praise the Lord. Number two. Not all men of God that are called and on stage are totally refined. Some of us are still being refined. We are getting better. Do you know why it's like that? Let's have 1 Corinthians 1:26. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was moving in Matthew 9 from verse 10 to 11, he was moving with sinners, publicans, and then the Pharisees you are looking for my back because, now the Bible says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many what? Not what? Are you in church? Not what? No, not many wise men. That means wise men are called, but not many of them. Is it true? Come on, is it true? So, not everybody is foolish. Some wise men are still called, but few of them. Number two, not many nobles are called. Like I said in Matthew 9 from verse 10 to 11, because many Pharisees, when they saw the publicans, they just avoided Jesus Christ because they feel they are the goodies. Many of you are half a first class, me become a pastor, God forbid. You think ministry is downgraded, it's for the low people. There are many parents that when you tell them you are going to ministry, they say you are a failure. No, go and become a medical doctor. So who should be a pastor? Somebody that failed in school. It's not true. When I graduated with my engineering certificate, my parents were like, I was the only engineer in the house. Hallelujah. My parents invested so much. Anything I wanted, they bought. And then after a while, I was saying, I'm going to ministry, but now you are joking. How can you go to ministry, Hallelujah? It doesn't work. Many people will fight it. And then God will still use some of us that are not that good. You that are good, you always sit down in the congregation and be insulting, but you never go. If God calls you, you won't go. Because you are too wise to be in the ministry. You are too smart. You are too beautiful or too handsome to be a pastor's wife. Me, marry a pastor, God forbid. You feel you are too good to work in the church. People share testimony of promotion, but nobody share testimony with their male unit leader in church. Because it's just church now. It's not true. Yes. If you are made a unit leader in a church, you should celebrate and testify. Many people, when they are handing over offices in churches, they are celebrating and dancing. But when they are retiring, they are crying. Now, who are you fooling? You are serving God and you are handing over and you are celebrating. But the day you are retiring from secular work, you are crying. God is watching people. So, see, you must understand something. God is not a man. He can't be fooled. Hallelujah. So many of you that are too good, I'm a first class, I'm a 2-1 student, I graduated with medicine from the OAU, prestigious university, I went to Harvard, I went to that, they are calling me, they say, I cannot go because I'm too good. So God sees that you will not go, he will go and pick somebody that cannot speak correct English and use him. And then when I am standing and preaching, I say, God went and came. You'll be laughing at my English. Yes, you'll be laughing at my English. But if God has called you that can speak quiz English, you won't go. So God has no choice than to use some of us. You that you are holy, you are a saint, you are a eunuch. You don't even shake ladies, you are a priest. If God calls you to go and work for God, you will not work. So God go and carry a serial fornicator. a serial impregnator, a serial armed robber, and use him. Because you are holy and you are sitting down castigating, you will never go. Are we together? You have a good voice, you can sing on E sharp, you can sing on any sharp, but you will never sing. And then there is a sister worshiping God with a cracked voice. And then you are laughing at her, but you will not sing. So God has no choice than to pick the available verses and transform us and use us. So when you see a man of God speaking a wrong English, I am from my local church, when I'm in church, that when a pastor speaks a wrong English, he have a lot of professors with goggles and sitting down every time. When a man speaks English, I'm telling you, you'll be hearing congregation uttering his English and be laughing at his English. But they will never come and become elders. During election for elders, they will not come. So there are many noble are not called. So don't expect a lot of perfect people on stage, because the good ones will not be here. They will refuse the call. May you not be one of them. Hallelujah. Number three, I want you to note also, is ministers are valuable before God. Hallelujah. They are what? Valuable before God. How do you treat your golden earring? You keep them, is it the same you keep them with the one you bought from Hausa people? You keep them separately, is that true? How do you treat it? How do you treat it? How do you treat your earring? How do you treat the things that are valuable to you? If you have an iPhone and a touchlight phone, and you have a good charger and a bad charger, how do you charge it? That's the way God, men of God, in Matthew 28 from verse 18 to 19, and then Exodus 3 verse 8 to 12, the story of Moses. You must know that men of God are valuable to God. The highest important thing to God is souls, or our souls. Are we together? And that is our work. The most priceless possession. We are the ones. You touch us, you are looking for trouble. Okay, don't forget that demons of a native doctor protect that native doctor with all their demons. Is that true? You see, when somebody is passing and says he's a native doctor, you yourself, you begin to behave. Because you know, when you touch a native doctor, you are not alone. From that time, yeah, you know that your life has changed for bad. Because they are valuable to their demons. So that is the way we are to God. Men of God are valuable. Know that in your mind. Are we together? Now, when I'm shouting, when I'm talking like this, don't forget I'm not talking to all of us. A lot of people listen to this message also. Are we together? So don't think I'm only shouting on you. Praise the Lord. So men of God are what valuable to God. Number four. Ministry. I want you to don't forget, ministry is not democratic. You know what is democratic? Ministry is autocratic. I will not come on Sunday and say, so what do you want us to look at today? You will say love, you look at you, fruit of the Spirit, you will say this, and say, okay, well, democracy, the highest people will vote, and then we'll look at that topic that Sunday morning. Is that what we do? No. Anything God tells me is what I come and bombard on you. Whether your problem is marriage, your problem is money, your problem is sickness, what God said is what I come and pour on all of you. Is that not true? It's not democratic. Don't think that the pastor did not look for your idea. He doesn't need your idea. He doesn't have to be creative. All ministry calls for is obedience. Anything God told him or tells him, that is what he will do. He is not answerable to the members. He is not answerable to the board of elders. He is not answerable to the camp or PFN. We have those orders for orders so that we cut excesses. But his primarily ministry is auto. God's kingdom is not democratic. Hope you know that. Fully autocratic. So don't come and say the pastor is not preaching. He has been preaching holiness for 6 months. If you don't want to preach holiness, God is not going to be telling you to preach. What I'm sharing today, God asked me to preach it. You may be saying, why am I Jimmy looking at this topic today? I shall be looking at XYZ. That is your own. You're on your own. I don't need to ask you what you want me to preach on Sunday morning. I have who sent me and he instructs me on what. So any Sunday you see a man of God starting holding the mic, you don't need to discuss it. Any topic he said, today we are looking at this. Don't believe that is what God has to speak for you today. Praise the Lord. It's not democratic, it's totally autocratic. And then number five is, you must know that God confirms the word of his servant. Either good or bad words. In Isaiah chapter 44 verse 26, the Bible says, God confirmed the word of his servant. First Samuel chapter 3 verse 19, the Bible says, God didn't allow any of the words of Samuel to what? Fall to the ground. Now listen to me. The reason why you don't believe many times when people prophesy, I say, this week it shall be well with you. You will not say amen. But if I say this week, seven of you will have accident. Ah, what did he say? you will take that one more serious. But if I say seven of you will have a breakthrough this week, you will not take it serious. People have a way of being inclined to the negative more. That even when somebody is prophesying the positive, they don't believe. But when you say negative, because that is the way, you don't believe that God confirms the positive. How do you get that? That the Apostle Babalola, there was a time his little girl, or is not serving the household behavior. I said, are you mad? She ran mad. Jokingly, yes. She ran mad. Somebody was carrying Bishop Dagwood Mills books and said, this book is nonsense. Threw it on the ground and stamped it. This book is nonsense. That week he had an accident and the leg was amputated. If, let me tell you something. There are certain people you should not joke with. If they say it won't be well with you, that is it. You believe your work is going on normal. It will just be a matter of time. So like when Jesus Christ caused the victory and the next day is withered, it's just a matter of time. It will happen. Altogether, God confirms their word. When Samuel wanted to anoint Eliab, God said, stop, stop. Because if Samuel had anointed Eliab, he would have been the king. Hope you know that. Because God is bound to confirm their word. Isaiah 44:26. That confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. Tell me, if I say, this week you shall prosper, God will have to make angels make this possible to ensure your prosperity. Do you understand now? Now, last one day we were prophesying that the Lord will supply for you, supply for you, but you didn't know that somebody was having only 15 naira. True? But he said, God oversupplied for her. So God confirms our word. You must believe it any time they are prophesying. That's not the time to be waiting, let this man close, let him run on the service, time has passed. No. God will confirm those words in your life. Don't be always believing negative things and positive. It's the same power. Because if a man of God on Sunday morning starts over and say, all of you shall not prosper. Any time you enter, the tire will burst. Everybody's like, Pastor, what I say? What I say? But the same man, when he was saying, you will prosper, he said, amen. Yes. So God confirmed that word. But if a man of God has ever cursed you, and you deserve that curse, apologize. Don't say, Lord, I'm sorry. Look for him. And what? Apologize. If you have ever caused a leader to a point of bitterness, look for them and apologize. It will not be well with you. If you have ever met somebody in his cry and say, no, you will not prosper. But this person, you see, let God be the judge or something like that. Ha! It's a very terrible, dangerous thing. Are we together? So God confirmed their word now. I want to speak to those of us that are ministers, first of all, hallelujah. Now, God expects ministers to be models, patterns, and example to the people. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2, and then 1 Timothy 4 verse 2, and then 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, the Bible says, Paul was speaking, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. As men of God, God expects us to hold a level of standard. However, when you see a woman of God wearing a mini skirt and standing on the pulpit, you say, if the woman of God, if the pastor's wife is wearing this, what will the member wear? They will come with pants now, two of us. Is that not? So God, we men of God, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a minister. Let me see your hands up. I know you, so in case you don't need to, okay. Kelesi, you're one of them. Ah, praise God. So God expects us to be models. All together. If you went to Capital Inn, this brothel here, and you say, no, I'm just waiting for somebody by the gate. Oh, there is a place where they drink malt there. And then you sit down with your suit and you're drinking malt. And then a church member passes and he sees you there. Pastor is in Capital Inn. Now, you may not have the time to explain to everybody. So the best thing is avoid places like that. Don't go to parties in the night and say, what is wrong in having fun? Everything is wrong. You are expected to be a model, a standard that people can look up to. When I was in prayer unit in campus, no prayer unit member is permitted to wear jeans. That was on the extreme anyway. Well, because they wanted to have a mindset in the unit. Some people wearing jeans, very soon somebody will come sagging and say, I'm coming, I'm here to pray. Nobody in Bible study, once they're coming for Bible study, they are on tie and suit. Even if somebody will come with t-shirt half like this and say, we are here to worship God, there's liberty in the house of God. Yes, very soon. Trouble J is a form of godliness. And there is a spirit. There is a form. Christianity has a form. There is a way to dress. There is a form. You cannot say, I'm a doctor, I don't wear jeans, I don't like wearing suit, I'm a doctor. You must wear it. Say, I'm a soldier. I like wearing t-shirt freeware. No, you must wear khaki. Is it not true? Have you ever seen soldiers say he's not wearing lab coat? No. Christianity, we have a form. There is a way our sister should dress. There's a way a man of God should dress. You cannot come and say, I'm here with tithe and then just imagine me wearing sandals to the slippers, to the palms. I'm preaching. Is there anointing in the palms? No. But you'll not be here next Sunday. You say, this person is joking. You mean I pay my transport to come here and see this joker? Is that not true? How many of you, let's say the first time you came here, you saw me wearing sandals and then I wear dirty jeans and then t-shirt. I preach the same message, the same anointing. You will not be here next time. Will you come? How many of you will come? You will not come. Say, I'm not joking. This person is a joker. Hallelujah. Number two about men of God is men of God, I want people to know that you are the head. You are point head. Your failure can affect a whole generation. Are we together? Bible speaking in Matthew 26, 31 and Jeremiah 23, verse 1. They strike the shepherd, the what? The sheep with what? The sheep will what? Scatter, yes. If something is wrong with me this week, next Sunday you will not be here. Three of us. You will not be here. There are some pastors that one catastrophe with them has affected the whole denomination. A whole denomination. Once you can affect the person at the head, everybody. So you must make sure you maintain your anything you need to maintain to remain at that sharpening is. Hallelujah. Number three, men of God, don't forget. Now we are primarily called to teach the word of God to shepherd the people and not our ideology and not our culture. All together, Bible is beginning in Ephesians 4 from verse 11 to 13. Says to the for the perfecting of the saints. Jeremiah 3 verse 15 says, I'll give you pastors after my heart who will teach you the ways of God. So every man of God here, when you have the privilege to speak to people, you are permitted and only to share the word of God and the word of God alone. Don't come and preach your ideology. I'm from Igala. And in my people, we don't do like this. Shut up. Are you there? I say, I am from the north. In the north, don't do like this. Shut up. What you are permitted and mandated to share alone is the word of God. Are you there? Don't come and say me, I'm a Republican. I'm in our culture. Women don't do like this. In the church, women can preach. Are we together? So, as men of God, your limit and boundary is the word of God. That is your scope. Are we together? Now, number four, and then that's to the men of God. Now, when there is criticism, when people are criticizing you as a man of God, learn to calm down and then handle it with carefulness. Now, don't forget that as a man of God, you will give account of everything that God has committed to your hands. I will give account of everybody that was here this Sunday morning. If I said what I was supposed to say. If I preached what I was supposed to say. Or if I wasted your time. Is that true? Luke 16 verse 2 and then Matthew 25. Anybody that was given 5 talents, you multiply it. Anything you are given as a man of God, you have a unit. God will give you to give account for that kind of unit. I'll tell you that. Anything God has given you, God will give you to give account for it. God has given you money, you account for that money. Now, why do people criticize and persecute men of God? Please, I want your ears to be open. Check your neighbor and say, open your ear. All the things you have been posting on WhatsApp, all the things you have been sharing on Facebook, all the things you have been saying. Now, here, shake him. You didn't shake the person. Shake him. The person is sleeping earlier. And let us see your neighbor, Gulu. You're afraid of her. She electrocuted. Praise the Lord. So, why do people, some of you have insulted some men of God. Some of you have done a lot of things. Now, don't forget, many people are listening. Many people have done terrible things to men of God. You have shared unshared things. You have said things that you shouldn't say. Are you getting that? Now, I want to give you the reason why many people persecute men of God and criticize them. The first reason is because of ignorance. Don't forget, we'll look at the bondage of ignorance. Is that correct? Luke 19 from verse 40 to 42. The Bible says, if they had known the time of their visitation. See, if you know what it means to be a daddy, a deboy. You will never criticize him, even if you see him in the house of a prostitute. You will never. If you know what it means to be that Dr. Paul Enetche, if you know what it means to be in that shoe, what was in the life of Moses, the anointing on him, was taken as prayer to only 70 people. They couldn't stand. All of them, those were even there, were prophesying in the tent. But he was carrying it and watching as if nothing was happening. And there's still people insulting him, but when a little portion was taken from him and put on 70 people, they could not stand on their legs. When I was in secondary school, I didn't respect coppers. When they came to serve in our city, these people are, you know, those who go to school. When I went to 100 level, first semester, After the test, the e-exam, everything, and our result came out. I was in between the road. You know this junction, when you have double lane road, I said, that in that center. I was at that center, Boso campus, Minna. If you take me to that center, I could take you to where I was standing. Then I saw a copper from the far. I stood there, I said, where does that? I said, what you mean? I just went through one semester. And look at the hell I went through. And you went through 2 semesters, 100 level, 2 semesters, 200 level, 400 level, and then you did project and came to say, well, no, sir. From that day, when I see a copper, my respect is exponential 37. Now, I was talking because I didn't know what it means to be one. If you know what it means to fast for 3 days, because you have never done it, that's the point. If you are fasting for 5 days, you are almost dead. Your bones are cracking. You can hear your intestine. Your eyes are turning. Fasting and praying for people that are eating and don't even know about you. And they never say thank you. There are people that are fasting for 3 days for. They never know till they don't, and they will never know. Just on their matter. But they will never respect that. If you know our routines to be able to host God, to be able to do the things we do, you will never talk. So many people criticize men of God because of ignorance. They don't know. If you have ever given birth as a woman, when you see a pregnant woman walking slowly, you will understand. But if you have never given birth, hurry up, now what is there? If you have ever had a tooth problem or an ear problem, the nerve pain, when somebody is shouting, man, no, if you have never had it, say, what is there now? Calm down, you're a man. If you have never had it, you will say it. But if you have ever experienced tooth pain, and somebody shouts, you say, shout, oh, shout, shout. Because you now empathize his condition. So many people are, because out of ignorance, you have said a lot of things. Why does he buy private jet? Why is he in this kind of thing? Because you don't know what is there. Don't know what it means to pastor 100 people with 100 problems. To pastor 10,000 people with 10,000 wahala. To pastor 20,000 people from 20,000 places with 20,000 demons. You have no idea what it means to start a ministry from the scratch and build it for 35 years. You have no idea what it means to suffer. And then you begin to experience blessing, and now you have the guts and the audacity to confront them. So many people are doing it out of ignorance, and now that this knowledge is coming from you, delete from it. Because ignorance is never an excuse for punishment. You will still be punished, so though you did it out of ignorance. So many people criticize men of God because they don't know. They are totally ignorant about what it means to be in that position. What it means to stand every Sunday. Do you know how many times I have cried personally? Do you know how many times at my small level, though? How many times I've cried? How many times I've been lied on? How many I've been deceived? How many I have to suffer, trust God for money for people? There are times I gave up people to members, give them transport, and I trekked home. That time I gave people food, I didn't have food. Now, if God begins to bless me tomorrow, he said, why is he writing an E-class? Because you didn't know anything. When you begin to see me flying abroad now, there was a time when I didn't travel anywhere. I'll hear that. So many people cascade on God because of ignorance. Number two. Now, this reason is very, very powerful. Number two reason. It's because of jealousy and pride. In Matthew 27, verse 18, the Bible says, the Pharisees, the Bible says, Paul was saying that because of envy, they brought Jesus Christ to kill him. They were jealous at his fame and his success. When you look at Dr. Paul and then just standing in the glory dome with the audience, and then you went to medical school together, you begin to find something to castigate him. So Dr. Paul Enetche said that some people came and met some of you, his secretary, personal secretary, and said, tell us something about Dr. Paul Enetche, I will pay you any amount to bring him down. True life story. And he said, one Sunday like that, the people were in church. I'm talking about members who. But they are jealous of his success. You don't want to know how people go far to bring down men of God. So they were moved with envy. Many people are envious at the success of Living Faith Church. Many people are envious at the success of the redeemed. with branches everywhere. People begin to talk about him and begin to insult him. He's opening business center out of jealousy. Because your church is suffering every Sunday morning. And then you don't have what he has. You cannot even dream of having it. And out of jealousy, you begin to persecute them. All together? The same with Numbers chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. Miriam and Aaron begin to say, why is Moses like this? He went and married an Ethiopian woman and they begin to talk about him. They were moved out of jealousy because they saw the ways 3 million people were following him. Are we together? And then Philippians chapter 1 verse 15 and then Acts 13 from verse 45 also. When the Jews came and saw that Paul preached and the whole city followed him, the Bible said they were moved with envy and they begin to persecute him. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 17 from verse 1 to 7, the same thing. Now, many political people are sponsoring antagonism against the church because they are envious of the impact and the influence that our fathers have over us. Hope you know that. Are you aware at all? So, out of jealousy, they begin to sponsor propaganda. Sponsor a woman to lie that Apostle XYZ slept with her. Sponsor Pastor David, Bishop David Oyedepo was saying that some men have got some people ganged up in Lagos that time. And say, and look for bad boys. Any amount it takes to bring to kill this man, I'll pay. Don't do the work. Yes. They can go any length. Everyone that has done it will get their praise the Lord. Number three, why many people persecute men of God, criticize what we are doing, is what we call demonic influence. Demonic. Many people, when God told me this, I said, wow. Under demonic influence. In 1 Kings 18 verse 4, the Bible said Jezebel was under a spirit and she killed all the prophets under a demon of Jezebel. Baal worship. Praise the Lord. The same at Matthew chapter 14 verse 8 and then Acts 13 from verse 8 to 11. Many people are under demonic influence. He said that he raped her when she was a child. Have you proven it? And then you begin to share. There are people, what they are doing, they cannot even explain why they are doing it. You can see many people following one clown. Is he a clown? Let me call it like my spiritual father called him, a mad dog on social media. Emphasis, mad dog. Praise the Lord. The man is insulting that Yadeboye, insulting Dr. Paul Enetche, insulting W.F. Kumuyi, everybody. It can't be natural. So if we give you the mic now, go and give it to an original man of God, who will you give the mic to? There are many people that need to carry mic and say, please go and give a real man of God in Nigeria. There is nobody they can point to. Because to them, everybody is fake. And they end up go to a shrine and give a native doctor. That's it. Because EWF Kumu is fake. Adepo is fake. Toto Polite is fake. Chris Ekinomi is fake. Who again? Apostle Joseph Suleiman is fake. Everybody, who is a man of God to you? If we give you a mic and say, give us a man of God in Nigeria, there's nobody we give it to. Oh, you be the one to begin to preach now. Praise the Lord. So you can see that many people are under demonic influence. Once there is a positive news from the church, they will never share. But once there's a negative news, they share. Have you heard this one? They begin to attack people. Have you heard this one? They begin to attack people. Praise God. Hi. Number four reason why people persecute men of God is because of past experience and abuses by men of God. Now, it is true that men of God have abused certain people. It is true. That some men of God have impregnated certain sisters innocently. It is true. It is true that many people have been duped of their money and their houses and many things by so-called men of God. And I explained earlier that if you have been duped, you deserve it because you refuse to grow. So because of that, many people begin to say, now my ministry is free the sheep. My ministry is to save young sisters in the church. And then you begin to persecute every man of God. Once you see a man of God with a quiet sister, you say, be mindful of him, be mindful of him, be mindful of him. You begin to put them under pressure unnecessarily. Hallelujah. And then number five reason why people persecute men of God is because of what we call comparison and competition. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 12, the Bible says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am a winner, you are a chosen. You are a this. And because of that, anything by Daddy Lazarus, you insult and abuse. I am not a love world member. Anything by Pastor Chris, you insult and persecute. I am an Orthodox person. I'm an Aka person. Anything that is Pentecostal, you are against. I am a Catholic. Anything that is charismatic, you are against. Are you understanding what I'm talking about at all? Because I think we are tussling for people. As it is, and then people are saying, you know, the truth is, many people from some denomination that are insulting other people from another denomination, their heads are not fighting. You can see a dynamic member fighting a living faith member. And Dr. Paul Enenche is a spiritual one, Dr. Paul Enenche, but the members, they are fighting. Unnecessary competition. Our man of God has fire. Your church is like this. Your church is like this. Unnecessary competition, comparison. And they begin to put vision God under pressure. Are we together? And then finally, this is why people persecute men of God because of wrong doctrines and then outright rebellion. Some people are taught to rebel and to insult men of God. Hallelujah. Some people are taught, when you see them say anything, talk about it. When you hear them say anything, in church, pastors say that to members. Just think about that. When you hear them say anything, talk about it. Don't allow people to be deceived. If your eyes open, talk about it. Don't have the monopoly of the Bible. It's very, very true. Hallelujah. Now, how are men of God criticized and persecuted? Now, I told you why people do it. Now, I want to give you a different method in case you thought you have not done it. How do you get that? How do we feel persecuted? How do we feel criticized? Criticism is never a word that is used for optimism. Shall I come again? Criticism is never a word that is used for optimism. Moyo, I want to criticize the way you think. First of all, your heart will become divisive toward me. But Moyo, I want to give you an advice about the way you used to think. Your attitude will be different. True? This statement, positive criticism or constructive criticism, is not like white witchcraft and black witchcraft. All of them are witchcraft. Is it true? Have you ever heard of white witchcraft before? And black witchcraft? All of them is as you have witch. The foundation, the suffix is witch. So constructive or destructive criticism, the end word, the prefix there is, the suffix there is criticism. Are we together? Now, how are men of God criticized? The first one is verbal, non-verbal, and direct insult on men of God. In Acts chapter 14, verse 19, hallelujah. I have seen people slap. I was in a church, in my youth Orthodox church. The pastor was misbehaving. The reverend that has been in ministry for, he's almost 60 years old. The youth say he's saying nonsense. They came and closed the church and didn't allow him to enter. Another one close by lifted the man from the seat and took him outside the church. I'm telling you, I was a witness, not that I was told. It happened in my church. I was there. They closed the church. They stood up and pointed their fingers at somebody else. Over 60, 70 years of ministry, a reverend, a quite reverend. Because you are young. If those guys don't repent, they will come to a life where they kind of will get their idea. Some terrible things. So verbal insult, who is he? He's a fake man of God. That is a persecution. Imagine after I preach and you come and tell me I'm a fake man of God. I don't believe what you are saying. How will I feel? You may know some people is not verbal, it's non-verbal. Some people is physical assault. Some people have attempted to slap any man of God. The second way is by lies. People persecute men of God by lying, by conspiracies, and by conjured stories. Praise the Lord. In Acts 23 verse 21, we saw how stories was conjured about Paul. And then in Matthew 26 from verse 3 to 4, and then Matthew 26, 61. When they wanted to kill Jesus Christ, they brought up stories. He said he would destroy the temple. He said, there's no pay tax to Caesar. And then some of you will say, in every rumor, there is an evidence of truth. Your problem is what is your problem? In the situation of Jesus Christ, that was the rumor. Is there any truth in it? Come on. See, what they said about Jesus Christ is a rumor. Is there any truth in that statement? Not every rumor has truth. There are some that are 100% lies. 100%. Are you there?
So many people lie on men of God. He ate our money, stole our money, and then when you hear the story, it will look original. The book of Proverbs says that a story is first correct until somebody else brings the other side. Have you ever tried to settle a fight before? The first person presented the way the fight happened. You mean he did this? Ha! It's very, very wicked. Without hearing the second person, you think this person is correct. And that second person come and give the other side of the story, say, but you didn't tell me this one, you didn't tell me, you even need this one. Has it ever happened to you before? So many people conjure lies. So people say, some people vowed, 40 people gathered and took an oath, they will never drink or eat till they kill Paul. They will not drink and eat, no matter how long, 40 days, 40 of them, till they kill Paul. Now many people have conjured that there are men of God that must go down. Some of them, they will tell them to your face, I will run you down in this city. And then they begin to catch up story. He's collecting charm from so and so person. He's doing what? He has a wife somewhere. He got me pregnant. I was in last year. A particular man of God was under pressure that he traveled abroad and slept with a young lady, gave her, he did a threesome with her, gave her particular money. And then trust people believed. And some of you may even believe it. Share the story. Let them even, do you know whether it's true? Do you know whether it's true? It can even be true. Do you know? Because a man of God, oh no, you begin to say nonsense. The lady came to the church and testified that somebody paid her to do it. But before that, many people in the church have insulted him and spread his name. There are some stories that are full lies. Are we together? That some people steal church money and then you wonder where they hear things from. Hallelujah. The third way men of God are persecuted is by silence of the church. And then the silence of others, men of God. Let me explain this to you. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 5 verse 29, put it up. Acts 5 29. How men of God are persecuted is by what? Silence of the church. And what? Silence of other men of God. And Peter and what? And the other apostles, what? Answered. If Peter alone answered, the forces will not be strong. And say, we ought to obey God rather than men. If you see somebody persecuting somebody from choosing as a Christian, join force with that choosing and fight it. Do you understand me? When you see somebody persecuting or criticizing a man of God from another denomination, join that other fellow believer and fight that criticism. Your silence is a lending of a voice to that criticism. Hope you know that. Are you aware at all? Don't say me, I'm not doing it. Anywhere you see, my biological father knows, and everybody around me knows, you don't insult Dr. Paul Eneche in my presence. No matter who you are, I will respect you, but I won't take it. On my friends list, you're off. Delete. Permanently. Shift. Control. Delete. I will never take you insulting any man of God, real or fake. I can't stand it. I will not want to do it and keep quiet and say, I didn't do it, so I watch it. No. Doing that, you're lending a voice to them to continue. You cannot insult and say, and this person is from Mountain of Fire. Oh, no, Mountain of Fire is totally innocent. That person may be wrong, but the church is not wrong. And it's from such and such church. Oh, that church is perfect. That person may have a problem, but it's not the church. And it's, look at her, she has a child, and she has a deeper life. Oh, the deeper life doesn't have a problem. She may have a problem. Are we together? So as a man of God, you insult another man of God right around me. Do you know what else that tells me? You will insult me very soon. 12-year doctors are disrespected. This doctor, your turn is coming. Is it true? You may keep quiet and say, the war has not come to my end. Like, it will soon come. It will soon come. So when a man of God is silent, when another man of God is being criticized, he's part of the criticism. When a church is silent, when another church is being criticized, they are part of it. There was a guy on internet that called Bishop Oyedepo a bad fool. Insulted him. The first time I was in my room, my neighbor was playing a video by Pastor David Ibiomi. See that? He was warning the guy. I've never had him. I sit down since this year began. He doesn't scream. You know, I've never known Pastor David Buemi at all. You know him? Very, very gentle. He said that he was talking on stage. I was shocked. I had to come out of our room to watch the video. He warned him. Say, you do it again, you are cursed. Because he didn't insult Bishop Edebo when I'm alive. When he finished, I was shouting, I shared it, people came to my wall, they were talking, I replied properly. Properly. Somebody asked me, will I do that kind of a thing? I said, by sharing. My voice means I can do louder. I have been doing it so that I don't have the influence of David Ibiomi. Do you know what? When he finished, then Dr. Paul and he came out of his own. After David Ibiomi finished his own blasting, Dr. Paul came up and, you know, he started another style altogether. When I watched those videos, I didn't feel like eating again. I was oversatisfied. I'm telling you. Only his lending of voice to what David Ibiomi said, every blogger will behave.
Is it true?
Talk that doctor, he lended his voice. Some people say that he called him a bastard. That is, Pastor David Ibiomi called the guy a bastard. And that is factual. And some people come and say, what should he say? But Dr. Paul Nietzsche came up. And first of all, he said, he's a mad dog. Emphasis, mad dog. Because Jesus Christ called people mad dogs, so we are at liberty to call. Bible said, woe to you Pharisees. Is that not true? He called a man a wild fox. Jesus Christ, the one you are serving. So we are his disciples. So we are copying after him. That's one. He said, if somebody called him a bastard, that is not less than it is. He seconded every statement. I told people my followership is like a sheep. That their dead boy, Dr. Paul NJ, David Ibiomi, Pastor Chris, Apostle Selman, people like that. Anything they say, they are correct. If tomorrow you come and say they are wrong, we can say they are wrong. I'm telling you. Anything. Hallelujah. So when you are silent, when they are being persecuted, when another church is being persecuted, because it's not your church, you kept quiet, you are part of the criticism. All together. And then when another man of God is criticized, and then as a man of God, you are quiet. When another artist is being insulted, as an artist, you say, I am not the one. Your tongue will come. Praise the Lord. Number fourth way where people persecute and criticize men of God is by belittling and commonizing their contribution and impact in a cynical way. They belittle, commonize their contribution and impact on the nation in a cynical way. He's not a man of God. Let him talk to his church. When they begin to talk on politics, let him remain in his church and talk. He doesn't have the right to talk. As if all we are called to speak is John, Thomas, Peter, Moses, Elijah. Anytime we talk about government, we are not permitted to talk about it. Anytime we talk about education, somebody that has failed two universities, world class, American comp, a professor from America resigned to come and work in Covenant University. Should that kind of person talk about education or not? You only have one state universities and they have been on strike for years. One state university. And the money is on your own, no? And that person generates money only by offering. Manage to build a university that your own is looking like secondary school compared to that one. And that state university has been there for over 50 years. You go there, it's not looking like an advanced secondary school. Should that kind of person talk to you or not? Hallelujah. Somebody built Glory Dome in less than 7 years. Bigger than the National Stadium. If it was government project, how many years would that project take? I want to ask you a question. If it was government project, how many years would that? You know this road from Lokoja to Abuja? Lokoja to Abuja, you know this road? From secondary school, I used to hear it on news. They have been allocating money till last year. The road has not been done. To date. Canal land has electricity from inception till today. It has not been blinked. Is it true? And then, indeed, they have increased our tariff. One. You don't have the light. And somebody that has that kind of result, when he talks, you should keep quiet. Hallelujah. So, but belittling and commonizing, anytime you see a miracle, when you see a cancer victim has been healed, when you hear, you will never see it on news. You never see the news. Have you ever seen that a dead people was raised? Have you ever seen a cripple was raised? Have you ever seen that my marriage was restored? Have you ever seen that my eyes were restored? Go to Dunamis every Tuesday and see what is happening there. You will not believe. Were you there?
This is what was happening there. Yeah, if you have a man, MFM virus, you know what happened? MFM, see the kind of things that happened there, but you never see the news. Never. Dr. Dick will look, oh yeah, see the impact it's making on this, but you never see it. It's commonized. That the ear, the boy, see the impact, it's never seen on news. It's commonized. Bishop, oh, they will see the impact, it's never seen on news. All together, it's commonized. Belittled. Made to look as if it's nothing. It's synonymous, anonymous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If today you do something good to me and I just look at you, I just take it for granted. Tomorrow you do something good to me, how will you feel? So imagine how the men of God are feeling. But we know better that our calling, our reward is of God. Praise God. And then finally, how men of God are criticized is by spreading false and true rumors. Hallelujah. When you see something online on a man of God, don't share. True or false, so long as a negative, don't share. Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't share. Don't spread it. Don't carry it on. I saw somebody's status. A man of God was shouting. He was shouting and screaming fire and then going backward. And then he slipped. And pleaded twice. And then I saw it on people's WhatsApp status. Laughing. Said, this one is gymnastics. This one is this. Just think about that. Pray for people because he slipped and just completely. It was a mistake. It was terrible. And then you can put that on your WhatsApp status to laugh at him. And then somebody said, please send me this video now, collect it and then begin to believe. What you are doing is you are advancing the story. Something happened in your church, kill it there, let it die there. Are we together? Don't spread rumors. Don't. Now, what are the dangers of criticizing and persecuting a man of God? Are you happy at all? Are you in church? Yes, sir. Are you learning something at all? You're not answering me. Yes, sir. Well, I'm hard on you. No, wait, I'm not only preaching to you. Praise the Lord. What are the dangers? The first one is generational extinction. I've only preached for less than 15 minutes, so I'm not taking most time. The way you are looking, I see you are tired. The first consequence is what? Generational extinction. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 21, the Bible says, after Ahab had did her minas and destruction, the Bible says, no person from Ahab's family that will remain, that will peace against the world. You know what it means to peace against the world? Only male peace against the world. The woman bow down and wee-wee. Is that not true? That means no male. And if male are cut off from a generation, they are extinct. Is that true? Second Kings chapter 5 verse 27, the same thing. So some things that, you know, I have been to crusade before. Major crusade. That was, I was in a crusade, I was looking at somebody. Why is this person not healed? I used to wonder. There are some things that people do. There are some things that people did in the past. That God is the one supervising their condition. I used to pity every madman before. When I see a madman, I would be crying sometimes. But when God told me that, see, one day I was praying, and see, if you ever see somebody mad, madness is not something that happens naturally. Even when you go to a native doctor, when you want to make somebody mad, it's difficult to make somebody mad like that. She must have some, like he raped a mother, raped a sister, involved in Yahoo, some terrible things. If you ever see a mad condition, it's extreme cases. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So generational extinction. You may wipe your generation because of what you did to a man of God. You may wipe it off. You may clear your generation from prosperity because of your insult to a man of God. Do you know what I'm talking about at all? You may wipe the prosperity of your daughters for doing something to a man of God. Generationally. Number two is what we call unnatural and unbearable causes. In Numbers chapter 12 from verse 1 to 5, the Bible says, when these people rebelled, when Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Aaron, what happened to them? Was instantly, Miriam became what? Leprous. You true? A young guy took the church from the GO and sent him away. The GO came to the church. Close the door and barricade the church. He said, you should not enter. The GO said, okay, I'll go. The wind is against you. That was all he said. Instantly, the man began to swell. Hallelujah.
I've seen few cases of terrible experiences from persecuting and criticizing men of God. Praise the Lord. Unnatural and unbearable causes. 1 Kings 13 verse 4. And then the third one is unnatural and inexplainable, unbelievable, unprecedented calamity. Unnatural, unprecedented, unbelievable, inexplicable calamity. Numbers chapter 16, verse 29 to 32. How many of you remember the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? When they came and insulted Moses. Moses said, if I am a man of God, and these people die a natural death, I'm not a man of God. A proof that I'm a man of God is that the ground will open and they will enter. Did it happen? Did it happen? It was unprecedented. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things will begin to happen, some kind of sicknesses that never existed before. You have, there was a time some people came and insulted Bishop Oyedepo or something like that. And then people came to Glory Zone, one of the ministers' conference, and they were stealing phones. I sat down there, I was there, and then Oshas came and tapped me and said, carry your phone. I said, why not? Because if you keep your phone, it's not everybody that is in church. There are duties in church. After the conference, the apology held the mic, he said that anybody that steals a pin in this conference, you know, he's a medical doctor. He began to call diseases that have 8 syllables. Clabba hyperclama osophaclosis cancer. He began to mention diseases. If you steal a pen in that conference, it's your portion. Some people not drop the pen, they still go with it. They think he's joking. I was listening to Bishop Wade, but he said, in Shiloh, some people came and steal him. And he said, if you steal anything, drop it. You don't drop it, your mind will never work. The guy ran mad. They began to take him to Babalawo, Antilawo, Ankulawo. Nothing worked. One Babalawo told them, this problem carried the living faith. He stole. I never heard a story before. You've heard it, Jabadi, right? Could not be stopped if they brought him back. Hallelujah. Unprecedented, unnatural causes. By criticizing them, I have watched a man of God cry. I've watched my mood dog. I've seen videos of many. I was telling of Dakoid Mills, a young man of God. I said he will run him out of town. The first thing that happened was him. His wife just woke up and carried her back and left. That was the beginning of his problem. His wife let him no quarrel, no misunderstanding. The kind of the thing that began to happen. He said he made him let us in life. The way when he saw him, he pitied him. Some things will begin to happen out of the normal in your life. Are we together? Unnatural things. You can't explain why you are fired. You can't explain why your relationship is not working. You can't explain why you cannot marry. You can't explain why the guys come and they don't stay. You can't explain why you cannot save money to marry. You can't explain why you cannot buy a car. You can't explain why nobody in your family is rising, because everybody you see that on the TV, from your father to the last born, you are laughing as men of God. Insulting them. All together? And you can't explain why these are working. Praise God. Number four is grievous disaster. And then number four is five is you open up yourself for demonic influence. When the devil notices that you are imposing, criticizing and persecuting men of God, you open up yourself for demonic influences. Number six is what we call harvest of criticism. But with a bit of deceit, what a man sow, that shall he reap. Is that true? What a man sow, what? That shall he reap. You criticize them, wait for your day. Just wait and climb up. The reason why nobody is talking about you is because you are nothing. We don't even know your surname to start with. If I look at your life, what should I start talking about now? Is it your height? Is it your size? You have done nothing of significance. The day you begin to rise, everybody will now zoom on you. And then that day they will know that. See, look at his nose. Oh, his nose. Look at his nose. That's when people begin to see your fault. And then you begin to experience. Criticize somebody when he's singing, you too you will sing. Hallelujah. Criticize somebody when he's preaching, you too you will preach. Hallelujah. Harvest of criticism. Now, how do you correct a man of God when he's wrong? Hallelujah. How do you what? Correct a man of God when he's wrong. Number one is send another person of his equal to talk to him. When King Saul rebelled, God sent Prophet Samuel, somebody of his equal, somebody he can listen to correct him. Are we together? Come on, are we still in church?
Yes, sir.
When King David impregnated Bathsheba, who did God send? An Israelite. Another Jew. He sent Prophet Nathan, somebody that David could listen to. Is it true? When Peter was wrong in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 16, and then in Galatians chapter 2 verse 11, Apostle Paul. Peter first of all reverenced Apostle Paul. He respected him. So Paul corrected Peter. If today I should correct Bishop Oyedepo, he will never see it. All the things I've been writing on Twitter, on Facebook, they will never see it. All you are doing is to feed other small minds like you. They will never see it. Do you think they will see it? If God wants to correct Oyedepo, he will not send you. He will send somebody he can listen to. So pray for God to send somebody like that. You now say, God corrected Prophet Balaam with an ass. Because he knows Balaam will listen to an ass. Is that true? Yes. Number two is speak directly to them if you can. If you cannot, just keep quiet. Hallelujah. That's how God corrected them. God sent another person to correct them. Number two is God speak to them directly in any way. God will correct a man of God himself. Number three is God will call them home. There's a man of God that God told Kenneth E. Hagin that this man of God, a prophet, you know, how many know the man I'm talking about? God, this man of God will die so and so years. Because he was into errors, teaching that there were two trees, Adam, and the sin that Adam and Eve did in the garden was sex. That was why God sent them out of the garden. That was why he was teaching. He was a renowned man of God. The God told Kenneth E. Hagin, if he doesn't change, I will call him home. So if men of God are wrong, God calls them, he speaks to them directly and correct them. If they refuse, he will send somebody that of his equal to correct them. And then number three is he will call them to heaven on time. All together, he will kill them himself. And then number four is God will allow circumstances that are tailored towards correcting them, not destroying them. Praise the Lord. In case you have been grieved by what men of God are doing, let me tell you how to go about it. Number one is pray to God to heal you and then to restore his servant. Don't forget, I said they are human beings. In 1 Samuel 15 verse 11, when Saul sinned, all that Samuel did was to pray to God to help him and to restore him. Number two way to handle a man of God, if a man of God has insulted you or taken anything for wrong, report them to authorities. We have CAN, we have PFN, we have court, we have police. Is it true? If you have been raped by a man of God, report them to those authorities. CAN will call them to order. PFN will call them to order. Telling your neighbor will not solve any case. Are we together? Number two is don't spread the story. Don't spread exaggerated truth. And then mobilize others to persecute all the men of God. Now everybody that is a real man of God starting church now, we are considered fake. Because somebody has one degree of money. Every prophet now is fake. Now, many young pastors that are called to be prophet are afraid of bearing the title prophet. Because if you see me now, I'm a prophet. I say, my name is Prophet Jutan Boba Adams. You begin to suspect me because a lot of fake prophets are in town. Now, because of those things, all of us are under pressure. We cannot be a prophet again, and I am a prophet. Don't think about it. There are young people that are prophets that cannot be a prophet because a lot of fake prophets, and then because of those fake prophets, all the innocent ones, we are under pressure. So, because now I am bro, this and this. I'm just calling Jotam Boba Adam because I am afraid to mention the title prophet. If I was a prophet, I would be a prophet. Let them go places. You cannot throw the water on the baby. Is it true? Cannot throw the water on the baby because we have some quack doctors. That doesn't mean we don't go to the hospital. We still have original doctors. Is it true? Because you have some quack doctors. You see, when you are saying you go to the hospital, you know, say after accident, now don't carry me to the hospital. We have a lot of quack doctors. No, you will go. Hallelujah. So don't spread lies. And then number two is never attempt to harm a man of God. It will backfire on you. Whether they are wrong or right. In 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 14 and then 1 Samuel 26 from verse 8 to 9. How many of you remember the story of Saul and David? Do you remember his story? Do you remember his story? Saul was wrong. The Bible says he literally ran mad. A demon was in him. David, he was looking for David to kill. He came to kill David. He was in a situation where David was Abishai to kill him. David said, you don't stretch your hands against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. Even in their fallen state, a man came and lied to David that he was the one that killed Saul. So you're not afraid to kill the Lord? David killed him. If they are wrong, avoid their space. They are catastrophic. Are we together? God will never justify you by arming a man of God. You will never be justified. So when you see them, avoid it. Praise the Lord. Avoid it. And then finally, the way to do it, leave that man of God or leave the church. If I, as a man of God, have ever stolen from you, leave this church. If I've ever abused you, what to do is to leave. How to get that? And then when you're leaving, don't muddy the water. Don't make everybody leave and say, everybody identity is such, every man of God. No, don't muddy the water. Just leave. I told people that if you are in Deeper Life Church and you want to wear trousers and then you're in Deeper Life, you are doing what is wrong. But if you're in Christ Empire and you're wearing church, the man of God permits wearing trousers. You are okay. Is that not true? So if you want to wear trousers, leave that church and go to where you can wear trousers. That is your own case. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll give you some counsel. Number one, if God is jealous over his anointed, you touch them, you'll never be the same. What you don't know about, keep quiet. All together? Psalms 131 verse 1. Psalms 131 verse 1. Put Psalms 131 verse 1. Any rumor you hear about that you don't know, keep quiet. Keep quiet. The Bible says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes loved you. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or things that are higher or high for me. Anything you hear, you don't understand what? Keep quiet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have a healthy reverence for men of God and honor them. Believe in the experience of the anointing. Hallelujah. Now, see, how many of you know how Don Quixote became wealthy? How many of you know the story? He honored who? He honored who? Person Idausa by standing up in a plane for him to sit down. Is that true? That's how he became wealthy. It is statistically proved that armed robbers that respect men of God live longer than armed robbers that don't. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Any armed robber that enters a house, I say, this one is a pastor, sorry, close the door. When you hear that everybody in that gang is wasted, that guy will not be wasted. It's statistically proven. When they are robbing on the road and a man of God comes with his guy's clergy wearing a tattered collar, and the only armed robber that respect people like that, statistically proven, they live longer than the rest of them. Do you understand? So anybody, Bishop Edebo said, there are many unbelievers that pay tithe to his church. And they prosper. Many of them honor them. And they prosper. So imagine if an unbeliever can honor men of God like that, honor them and then prosper. What about you as a believer? Why can't you do it? Why can't you honor people that are sent to you? Why was the Christian never so blessed like that? Basically, that was, I think about it. Christians were in that place when they made that call, two of us. But they will never stand up. But an unbeliever knows enough. He said that your wealth can never be counted by one man. And he's speaking. But a believer, they when they plan, they will not stand up. Your prosperity is in the mouth of somebody. You can be declared blessed. You can be declared to prosper. Are we together? You can be declared to advance. Your life can change like day and night in 24 hours by one word. You can be free from a deadly situation by one word. Disease from it. Hallelujah. And your life will be blessed in the name of Jesus. So the next time you sit down before somebody called the man of God, let your attitude be different and disease from this that will make you to suffer at the end. Hallelujah. I know many of you are not happy with what I'm saying or I struck you in certain areas. The truth is I'm not really apologizing. Praise the Lord. If you are wrong, correct it and change. All together? Correct it and change for your own good. And I believe God will help us all in the name of Jesus Christ. Now everybody, let's close our eyes together. Now I want to pray for anyone here that has done things that you think there is a curse upon your life. You have engaged in these things. You have persecuted or criticizing certain people and you feel you need to be prayed for. I want you to lift up your right hand. Let me pray for you. In case you know you have involved in something like that, you have said something or done something that you feel a curse is on you. When you lift up only your right hand, let me pray for you. Yes, just raise your right hand. Please let all eyes be closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your son and your daughter. Pray for everyone involved in that. In the name of Jesus, anything that has been spoken or that is working against them as a result of their actions, I ask for your mercy. Father, I ask the Lord you overrule everything. The Bible said in Acts 17 that in the days of ignorance you overlook. I ask the Lord you look at them with the eyes of mercy. Every cause that is working or anything not working against them because of anything in the past, may they be free from it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I decree that the blessing of God come upon you. Anything you have lost as a result of that mistake, may the blessing and the hand of God cause you to recover all of them in the name of Jesus. Everything that has not worked as a result of that mistake, I decree that they be recovered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Everybody, can we be on our feet? I want you to ask God for grace, never to meddle in issues like this. Hallelujah. Say, Father Lord, I receive the grace, never to meddle in persecuting your prophet, persecuting God's servant. I receive the grace. I receive the grace. I receive the grace. In the name of Jesus, I receive the grace. Receive the grace never to meddle in persecuting and criticizing God's servant. Receive the grace in Jesus' name. I pray for wisdom for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, it's time for offering. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray over your offering that you are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can cast your offering.
The compass you need has just been delivered into your hands. You can get all the anointed messages on our Telegram channel at Shekinah Encounter Center Sermons. For more inquiries, you can also call 080-6522-6276 or 080-2611-2114. Remain rapturable.